This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hello, Charlie.
And good morning, Franklin.
Yeah, how's everybody in your family?
Oh, everybody in my family's
pretty good, huh?
I will just share with you, remember the adopted stray feral cat?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who has just been purring ever since he arrived at the new home.
Uh-huh.
He's, you know, give him an inch and they take a mile.
Yeah.
So we have a king-size bed. We have a cat that can almost fill that king-size bed. He sprawls right across. So Elliot's on one edge, I'm on the other edge, and this monster cat is right in the middle.
Oh, jeez. Well, I'll tell you.
He's a happy guy.
We're in the middle of a fun show today at the garden. Show.
We're not in the middle yet. We just started.
No, I know.
Okay.
But, well,
I think.
Oh, gosh. Don't throw me. Hey, I'm looking at a bottle in front of me.
I know. Look at
this. And this bottle was given to me by Siva, one of our lovely listeners.
Yeah.
During the Zoomer show.
Ooh.
And for now several weeks, we have forgotten to bring a corkscrew in. Mm-hmm. I remembered. Brought one in this morning.
You're the best.
So we're going to open this up and pour a glass or two and have it's cider.
Made by Siva.
Yes. Yeah.
With her this year's
crop of apples, crop, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Well, because remember, Siva sent us all the squashes that she had grown.
That's right.
The gourds, et cetera. Well, while you're
I'm pouring.
Glugging
you can,
that in.
Yeah.
Pouring that in. No.
glug.
You're very, very. What's the word I'm looking for? Oh, I can hear that. That sounds great.
Yes.
I'm getting thirsty. Mm. Okay, so a couple things. Remember, today, our friend Sean James is speaking at Carson's Garden and Market in Hilliard. So that's in my neck of the woods there in Prince Edward County. Carson's Garden and Market is located at 1317 Wilson Road, just 2 o'clock today. And I will be having our usual cider and brunch with you and then getting in my Learjet, heading east because I want to catch Sean. I promised to go and heckle him. So I want to get there to do that.
Oh, lucky him.
Exactly. And something else that's going on today. It's the 39th annual Toronto East York Rotary Online Auction.
Mm-hmm.
So my brother's involved in this, has been forever. He is the president of the East York Rotary. And I just wanted to share with anybody, it streams live today, starting at 10 a.m. right through to midnight. And it's very cool because there's so much, it's all donated. So it's great tickets to hockey games and Raptors games. It's jerseys signed, this and that. But great gifts for gardeners too. There's gift certificates from some of the great garden centers.
All
there's
right.
tools. And it's an online auction.
And so, where do you tune in?
Well, all you do is view it on, just go online at Rotary Online. So just one word, rotaryonline.auction.
Oh.
And you'll be in and then you can see what's coming, like what they've got out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, learn more about what's out there. And like my brother Gordon said, 100% of all the money that's raised benefits community projects.
Well, Rotarians are just so famous for doing wonderful work.
Well, it's all the administration, all the people doing this, all the running of it, the getting the donations, all volunteer.
Oh,
so
great.
There's no fees at all, and you won't pay HST anything you purchase.
Oh, that's cool.
So just a cool idea for, you know, you've got gardeners on your list or anybody on your list, might be a good spot to find something.
Right. Now, before we reach for the glasses, which I'm going to ask you to do.
I want to reach for my glasses.
Oh, you reach for a glass. There you go. I haven't given our phone numbers yet, which is why there's not a darn call on the board.
Well, I just thought
here.
We could just talk. Okay,
so, yeah. All right. So if you have ever said, I'd love to call Charlie. Today, right now, would be a marvelous time to call this number if you're in Toronto, 416-360-0740. Then anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. And we shall take a little bit of a break. But before we do,
clink.
Let's have a, yeah, here we go.
To Siva, thank you.
To Siva, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The best way to Black Friday better is to Black Friday sooner during our Orange Friday sale. With so many vacation deals, we had to start our sale early. Save up to 35% on all-inclusive winter vacations. Plan to vacation better with our best price guarantee at top-rated resorts with award-winning service every step of the way. Book now with your travel agent or
fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Both Charlie and I have noted that this stuff has kick to it.
This is beautiful. So yeah. I do, though. Look how clear it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Siva, call us. Tell us how you made this.
Exactly. What kind of a press did you use in order to come up with this lovely cider?
Well, you know when you drink apple cider that you pick up at your apple orchard, it's all cloudy and it's got all that particles.
Dead
this
clear.
Is beautiful.
It.
And it's beautiful. Nice tasting. Mm-hmm. Not too sweet.
Another little slow.
Yum, yum. Yeah, we're going to be pretty quick.
So anyway, that was really good. Hey, you know, we have a caller online from Etobicoke who is a first-time caller.
Yes.
Just a second.
Cool.
There you go. That's for Cheryl. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. How are you today?
Half drunk. No, fine. Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. So, Charlie, a few weeks ago, right at the tail end of your show, somebody called in about turning a green poinsettia red.
Yes.
And I happen to have one like that, a green one. Mm-hmm. So I jumped on it, and I've been putting it in the dark and bringing it in and out. And it's actually working.
Mm-hmm. As it should.
I've got 5 main stalks, and about almost 3 leaves on each stalk are turning red.
Nice.
And I guess what I want to know is, will the little, you know, the little seed things that grow in the middle, will they come out? The second time around,
those little seed things are actually the flowers.
Yeah.
So those colored, the red are actually leaves that are turning red.
Mm-hmm.
When they turn the color like that, they're called bracts. So bracts. So leaves turn colors called bracts. In the center, you're going to get little tiny flowers, and they actually, when the flowers open, they look like miniature pom-poms because they've got little pollen, little reproductive organs. So will you get those? You should just by giving it this treatment, temperature, time of year, eventually, at the very terminal buds, at the tip. So of course, no pruning, none of that going on right now, but keep up the good work. It's at least a 12-week process to get it to your maximum coloration.
Well, I've got right till Christmas. So.
There you go.
good stuff.
I wanted to ask about the first, so I fertilized it with 15-30-15. Mm-hmm. Is that appropriate, and would I do it every couple of weeks, or is one time enough, do you think?
At this time of year, okay, remember the way it works. We fertilize plants that are actively growing. So this plant of yours is, well, you could tell better than me whether it's actively growing, whether you're seeing new growth on the tips. If you are, then I would fertilize once a month with your 15-30-15. If it's basically static, you're seeing some change in color, but you're not seeing a lot of new growth, then I would hold off on the fertilizer.
Okay. Okay, great.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us, Cheryl.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
And good to hear that it's working.
And you know, we've got a beautiful day on the way here, too. Nice
it is
and clear.
Gorgeous.
A little on the chilly side, but
beautiful, crystal clear blue.
We're almost into the month of December, for gosh sake.
But you know what? This is a good weekend. This is the weekend to get, put up your Christmas lights or whatever kind of decor, but also get your rake out. Get those leaves off the lawn that fell when the snow happened. Leaves in the garden, fine. Yeah. Leaves on the lawn, not fine. So do that if you can, because this weekend is great.
Putting up the Christmas tree, Shirley got the,
I know
got
what you're
the tree
say. Up
there. Oh, yeah. And trying to get the lights to work. I was just about ready to.
I know. That's not the kind of thing you're very good at.
No,
you're good at a lot of things, but not
No,
that.
I don't have any patience.
No,
and
I know.
Going to, utter a string of invectives.
And suddenly.
And Shirley said, no, well, let's try this. And bing, all the lights
there
came on.
There you go. She's good at it.
Great. Let's pour a drink. Hey, Majma in Brampton. Welcome to the show. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Morning.
I've been meaning to call you for at least 3 weeks, but haven't had a chance. And thank you for the number because I couldn't find it. I jumped on it as soon as you said.
Cool.
Today is like a beautiful day, and I've got somebody like to do the pruning. I have a huge lilac bush. I have two that are really high.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're about 3 feet above at least the height of my fence in the backyard.
All right.
And I've been meaning, you know, I think it needs a good prune because it's just way too high. It does bloom only for, it's like an early bloomer as far as the lilacs where they get those beautiful blooms in the, and then they go like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But at the bottom.
There's nothing.
Yeah. It's like just dry. It looks like dead little trim, you know, branches, but there's some thick branches, like the main branches. And then there's like all these offshoot branches that are dry.
Right.
So I wanted somebody to come and do it for me. They are coming today, but I wanted to know how much can I do without hurting and killing my plants in the spring? I want it to kind of be shorter and fuller, if you know what I mean. Like that's what I want to get to.
Right.
Just not sure how much you should trim off today without killing it.
Like, okay. It's hard to kill a lilac. They're very vigorous plants and they get old as you recognize. Mm-hmm. So you've got big solid trunks at the bottom, lots of beautiful leaves and blooms way up higher than you can ever sniff and a lot of nudity down at the bottom.
Yeah.
So topping the plant will encourage some growth from the bottom, which will make it a greener, bushier plant. However, pruning it now means you will have no flowers at all next spring.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the flower buds are there now. With our early spring blooming plants, it's funny. Again, this happens a lot, actually. I was just teaching my students this yesterday, when to prune flowering shrubs. So when you've got the spring blooming flowering shrubs of any kind, whether it's a lilac or a forsythia, rhododendrons, any of these early bloomers, the flower buds are set now. So you trim them now, you say goodbye to next spring's flowers. Best thing to do, if you can, is wait until after they flower next spring, then do the pruning you want to do. And you can prune up to 25% off of the plants. Or just say, okay, this is a year, since you've got the person coming, this year we will not have blooms. We are choosing to not have blooms. They're going to be all virtually cut away. The following year, we should have lots. So there's
okay, cause,
that
yeah, because I always thought it was a fall. But I might have to go that route and then forego for 1 year. But when I'm doing it, and you said 25%, is it like at the bottom, those just cut the main stalks or just cut those little?
Don't cut the little stuff off. The little stuff is the new growth coming from the base. And that's going to provide you with some green and fill in that bottom portion of the naked stems. In a perfect world, because lilacs live for absolutely ever. Those big honkers, the really big branches that are coming right from the base of the plant, over the years should have been removed back probably 10 years ago through a process of sort of annual rejuvenation. So at this point, you would only have young growth coming from the base and all the old stuff would have been removed. It is highly stressful on the plant to take out a really big branch now. Okay. So what we end up doing, if we haven't pruned them consistently, is we basically give them a haircut now. So we bring them down. You said it's about 2 feet above the fence. So bringing those plants down.
Maybe more, actually. I'm looking at it right now and it looks way more. And I have tried to prune it, but I think it kept getting higher and I couldn't reach it. And I thought I should probably.
Yeah. So if it's 9 or 10 feet tall now and you want to bring it down to 5 or 6 feet tall, that's what you end up doing on a day like today. You take that top off. It will be a bushier plant as a result, but as I point out, they'll be unlikely.
But at least it'll bring it down. Well, I'll do that then because they're coming and the weather seems to be cooperating, but I didn't realize that. So you could do it after the bloom when they have the leaves and stuff for next year.
Well, that's what I was going to say. What I would do, if you are doing that kind of a dramatic prune today, which is fine, next spring the leaves will come out, maybe one or two flowers will come out. Watch the neighborhood, see when the lilacs are finished blooming, and then you should be able to reach in there and do some pruning next spring. After the lilacs have bloomed, and then you leave them alone and you start an annual pruning that you can hopefully do yourself that will happen after they've bloomed. So that might be May, it might be June, depends on the season, but it's an annual thing every single year right after they bloom. Not only take off the dead blooms, but bring the plants down to a reasonable height, recognizing they're going to grow another 2 or 3 feet over the season.
Okay. That's
Thank
good
you.
To know.
All right.
Thank you for that.
Thanks for calling.
All right, Majma. And you know, as we say goodbye to Majma, I glanced up at our monitor here and good Lord, there's not a call on board right now.
Oh my goodness.
That's so unusual.
Everybody's jumped in their cars to come and have some cider, I think.
That's exactly it. Okay, so let's give those phone numbers again with a reminder. I forgot to give a little mantra. Call early, call often. One question per call.
I think everybody knows that mantra.
Most likely now. Yeah. In Toronto, 416-360-0740. Anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-0740. 4740. So give us a call and say hi to Charlie. And Charlie, yes, you're going to mention something there.
Well, I was going to tell you, all right, we had a call last week from Tom in Picton, and he was wondering about a bunch of insects that were entering his home, and making him quite uncomfortable. So one of our listeners sent me an email, which is great. The listener's handle is oldottos2, and the email says, to get rid of ladybugs, I use duct tape. Stick them to the sticky side, so them being the insects. Yeah, so I guess he sneaks up on the insects with the duct tape. Just
clever.
Gently grabs them with the duct tape, folds the tape over, and squishes. No smell, and then dispose fast and easy.
Wow. That's pretty darn cool.
So duct tape, bandages, you walk around the house, picking up all the insects, and then squish them, and off they go.
Excellent. Thank you for that suggestion.
Anybody who's out. You never know, actually, with the sunshine, that those insects can still show at this time of year.
Yeah.
They are looking for a place to hunker down for the winter.
Excellent. Okay. I see the calls are coming in fast and furious, so we will get back to our callers in moments here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, it's Proctor pottering along to Pickering to say hi to Patty.
Golly, could you come up with another P?
Probably. Hello there, Patty. Good morning.
Good morning, Frank. And
Charlie. Good morning.
Charlie. You took me off guard. I didn't think I'd be getting through so fast, but that's nice.
Yeah.
I would like to ask about, I brought in my mandevilles, and I have them in a pot. Mm-hmm. I've kind of cut back on watering them. I would like to know, if I cut them back really, really far, can I put them down in my root cellar in the basement and keep them there all winter?
Yep, you could. No guarantees it will work, but good chance it will work. Mandevilla can, there's sort of two ways to overwinter. One is dormant, alive, but dormant. So people will often use a cool basement. It could be a root cellar with no light, or it could be a room with some light. Mm-hmm. If it's completely dark, it's a bit of a fine line going. Is it like lots of green on the plants right now?
There's some blossoms still.
Actively growing.
Yeah.
So I would do that process a little. I wouldn't do that radically. I'd do it a little bit slowly.
Yeah.
So do cut back on your watering. They are in a sunny location in your house right now?
Yes, they're in a west window.
And you could keep them there all winter in that west window.
Uh-huh.
Cut back as required when they lose leaves, or if they start to get really long and leggy, feel free to cut back. And then you would do a hard pruning in March, prune them back quite dramatically in March when the days are getting longer, keeping it in that west window, turning them, 180 degrees every week or so, adding water as necessary. And so that's more of almost a semi-dormant state versus a completely dormant state, which would be down in the root cellar. But
so
like I say, it's doable.
Keeping them in the west window is better?
Well, I think for my purposes, it's easier to tell that the plant is alive because you can see, you can tell when to water, you can see what's going on in terms of green growth or new buds or any kind of sort of activity from the plant.
Mm-hmm.
Once you put it into actual dormancy, you cut it all back, no water, in the dark, bye-bye for a few months, it can work perfectly, but you don't know. Right?
Yeah.
It could be completely alive and just waiting in a state of sort of hanging there waiting for the right conditions. And of course, those right conditions in March would be hauling it out of the root cellar into that western window, watering and waiting for some new growth.
Okay. Well, I think I'll take your advice and keep it in the west window.
All right. It can be pretty. They will bloom through the winter if they're, getting enough light.
Yes, they are. Now, it's near a heater, so do I need to move it back from the heater?
What I would is that it's one of the ducts that blows?
No, it's an electric baseboard heater. Our house is heated with electric baseboard heaters.
Right, so you have to do whatever you can to keep it away from that dry heat.
Okay,
so as much light as possible. And even consider what's called a
deflector?
Well, the deflectors don't work on the heaters.
Yeah. Mm.
But putting a tray beneath the plants with some gravel or pebbles in the tray, like a cookie sheet kind of tray, with water always in the tray and the pots sitting up on the gravel, can be a way to provide some extra humidity around the plants.
Okay.
And that's a very good idea when you're in such dry heat.
Yes.
Or for anybody, actually.
Well, thank you very much. I will do that.
Excellent.
All right, Patty, thanks for joining us.
Yeah,
It's a beautiful morning, whether you're in Pickering, Barrie, or... Oh, speaking of Barrie, we have a first-time caller online. Just a second here. Frankie reaches for the bell.
So
that's
festive.
For Dorothea in Barrie. Good morning. Welcome to the show, Dorothea.
Good morning, and how are you today?
Just great, thanks.
Morning.
Morning, Charlie. How are you?
Excellent. What's going on?
I have a Christmas cactus that's about a foot and a half wide. Mm-hmm. It's an old one. Mm-hmm. And it does not bloom at Christmas time. It blooms in July.
Oh, funny, yeah.
And I was wondering if I'm doing something wrong. I have two babies off it, too, and the babies also bloom in July.
Is it possible that it's not actually a Christmas cactus that you have, but it's an Easter cactus? Because there are two different kinds that look very similar, but they do bloom at different times.
Oh, well, I got it from my friend when he died, like his family gave it to me, but it always bloomed for him at Christmas, and it looks like a Christmas cactus.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, they're similar looking, but different. Okay, so why is it blooming in July and not Christmas? So you keep it inside. Does it go outside in the summer at all?
No.
Okay, and it's in a sunny location inside your house?
Yes, it's in front of my patio door.
And it stays there year-round?
Yes.
And you turn it 180 degrees every week or so?
Yes.
Do you fertilize at all?
Yes, I do every month.
Okay, through the entire year?
Yes.
Okay. So the way it works is, I mean, one of the things that makes Christmas cactus set its blooms, two things do. One is temperature, so cooler temperatures, and this is where I love taking my Christmas cactus outside for the summer, and then you just leave them outside till it's cold. They can even take some frost. And once they've had that cold, and it's also the dark, because of course the days are getting much clearly darker and, you know, shorter, et cetera. And what will happen, of course, is that a bunch of buds set because those days are shorter and the temperatures are cooler. So there you are with a Christmas cactus covered in buds, and it's November. You want to bring it in because it's getting so cold. So you bring it in and all those buds burst open and they bloom before Christmas. But nevertheless, it's closer to the Christmas season than July. So what's going on in July that's making that happen that is similar is hard to say unless the plant is just responding to water amounts. It's not cool enough or dark enough to produce buds in July. So it's interesting. So it is responding to some environmental stimulus, whether it's the fertilizer. What we do is, again, we feed while plants are actively growing, when they're flowering, etc. When Christmas cactus finishes flowering, hold back on water and definitely stop fertilizing.
Oh, okay.
Always give the plant a break after it's flowered. 2 to 3 months, no fertilizer, and be careful underwater through that process.
Okay.
Okay,
Dorothea,
change it up.
Yes.
Before you go away, you're calling from Barrie. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if you are familiar with the Italian bakery there.
It's called the Italian Bakery?
The Italian Bakery. And I learned of it and have been up there several times now to say hi to the owner, Rocco. And Shirley and I went there yesterday. You've got to go there. It is absolutely incredible bakery. Oh,
where is it?
I believe on Ann Street, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay. Really? My brother lives on Ann. I should ask him. He probably knows about the bakery.
Yeah. And honestly,
it's called the Italian Bakery?
That's exactly right. And it is worth a trip. I swear to Pete, it really is.
I'm not far from it, about 10 minutes.
Oh, golly. Drop by. Say hello to Rocco. Find out the owner. Tell him that Frankie Proctor told you to go up there, okay?
Okay,
and not just that, but thousands of people who are listening to the show.
No, that's right. Thank you so much.
I love your show. I listen to it. I mean, I listen to it every Saturday. I make sure I have it on.
Excellent.
Thank
You've got
you.
Good taste. Okay.
You do.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Dorothea.
Fuda Italian Bakery. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it's just the Italian Bakery. Yeah.
This is Barrie. Wellington.
200 Wellington Street. That's right.
Okay. 200 Wellington Street. West in in Barrie. FUDA, Fuda Italian Bakery.
Boy, I tell you.
You said those cookies are to die for.
Oh, my gosh.
I like the way you talk about stuff, but you never bring it in. Talk about all the great things.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Well, you know what we're going to talk about in just a moment here. As a matter of fact, a little glass that I'm holding, we poured it out. I've cut back on drinking.
I know.
This stuff
I'm losing my words. Thank you, Siva.
I renamed it Siva's Kickaboo Joy Juice. Anyway, Siva is on the line with us right now. Hi, Siva.
Hello, guys.
Good morning.
How are you?
Thank you for this early morning libations.
Okay, I'm glad you like it because I had never drank it before, but I saw all these apples in my neighborhood. I don't know the species, but I just gathered them, put them in my juicer.
Oh, I see.
And I just went to work on it. Then I put them in a 5-gallon carboy and add a pack of yeast. Mm-hmm. And that was it. No chemicals to clarify or sulfite.
Wow.
So it's pure.
It certainly is.
It tastes great.
It's purely delightful. Thank you. Okay, what's on your mind this morning?
Okay, I'm ahead of myself, but I'm thinking about my zucchini. This year, I planted 4 and I got nothing. The boar just ate the vine. And I want to be successful with that because I love zucchini.
Yeah.
Anything I can do?
Well, when that insect is floating through your neighborhood and looking for squash vines and zucchini vines to lay its eggs on and have a grand old time annihilating your plants, the only thing you can do is one of the best things you can do is using what's called a floating row cover.
Okay.
So a floating row cover is a lot like a big piece of cheesecloth. And it goes over the plants. They're young plants at this point. It's early in the season. They're in the ground. They're starting to grow. And the floating row cover goes over the plants. You can use little hoops to keep the sort of, it's a very fine netting up off the plants, but it's a very light netting. It can sit right on the plants. You got to make sure your little edges are sealed with some rocks or boards or some soil. So they're just sitting there and there's a time frame in which you would need to keep those plants covered, but you can't keep them covered all summer. Otherwise, the flowers will form and no pollination will take place because you need insects to do the pollination. So what we'll do is we will talk about this next spring when we see what kind of a spring we're having, because it's got a lot to do with the temperatures outside, when the boars are active and when we need to protect from them. And then there's their life cycle that we work around.
Okay.
All right.
So I will check in with you next time because I know I'm ahead of my time.
It's okay though. In the meantime, you can do some research on floating row covers and squash or zucchini borers.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thanks,
excellent.
Guys.
Thank you very
Thanks
much,
Siva. Again. Wonderful, wonderful cider. Might want to consider that as a side job.
And there you go.
She's quite the gardener, though. Siva sent us some great pictures of what she's got going on.
Absolutely. Okay, we have to take a little bit of a break here, but I'll remind folks about the phone numbers to call to have a chat with you. Charlie, in Toronto, 416-360-0740. Anywhere else in the province, it is toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. And we shall return on this gorgeous Saturday, but a little chilly, morning with beautiful blue skies out there. It's The Garden Show on the air from Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, we've had a busy morning thus far, huh?
We are. I'm all over the map here.
You certainly have.
I'm just going to say
sat there and listen to all the advice.
It's Siva's fault if I'm all messed up and giving completely wrong advice.
Well, Diane in Ajax, good morning and welcome to the show.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Good morning.
Good morning. So last spring, I got a beautiful hibiscus plant. In a pot, and it bloomed wonderfully all summer. I brought it in this fall, and the leaves just started dropping, and the last leaf fell this week a few days ago.
Okay.
I can tell it's still alive because the stems have green in them, but is there anything I can do to rescue this plant?
Sure. Where have you got it located right now?
In a western window.
Okay, and is it a tree form hibiscus or like a little bush?
I think it's supposed to be a tree one. The stalks are wood.
Okay, so does it have one single stem and then a bunch of little stems up at the top?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So here's what I would do. You've got in a western window. Be very careful on your watering right now, because with no leaves on the plant, it's very easy to overwater.
Okay.
Okay. So remember, you watered a lot in the summer when it was outside. It had lots of leaves. It was using a lot of water. Right now, it's not using nearly as much water. And the dropping of the leaves is very, very common. The leaves that were there were leaves that grew that were attuned to the outside and the amount of light those leaves were receiving in order to really optimally photosynthesize. Now that you've brought it in, the light levels have dropped dramatically, and the plant responds by saying, well, these leaves are pretty useless. They really are just not physiologically designed to use the light that's available. So we're dropping these leaves, we're going to grow new leaves, and the new leaves that we grow are going to be optimally designed for this location.
Oh.
Right. So that's why in that process of those new leaves growing, you just want to be careful that you don't overwater.
But water, let's say, once a month?
Well, is it quite a large pot that the plant's in?
Yeah, I had to. It grew so much. I potted it up into a way bigger pot.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we do that, the plant also responds by saying, wow, look at all this room. And it starts putting a whole bunch of roots out. So right now, a lot of energy will be going into root growth if it was a fairly recent transplanting. But what you can do is get out your pruners. Well, two things. One is get a moisture meter or figure out some way to recognize what's the moisture level down like 6 inches down into that pot, not just on the surface, but down deeper. Sometimes we can do that by the weight of the pot. Sometimes a moisture meter.
I do have a meter.
Yeah, so that just helps. So you do want to water thoroughly when you water, but you don't want to keep the plant constantly wet. So you want it to get to the dry side between waterings. But today, beautiful sunny day, get out your nice sharp pruners, prune that plant back, whether it's 2 inches on every tip or 3 inches on every tip. But bottom line is prune back to a bud, and you'll know where the buds are because there's little bumps on the stems. And each of those little branches, you're going to prune back to a bump, preferably a bump that's going to grow to the outside of the plant. So you're not going to get a lot of growth inside, growing to the inside, causing all kinds of sort of mess of branches crisscrossing each other. You want your growth to the outside. So just look at each branch, do whatever cutting back makes sense. That will really promote those buds growing and new leaves coming out.
Okay, I will do that today. Would I be able to squeeze in one quick poinsettia question?
Oh, I better not. We got a full list here. But do call back.
Yeah. Call back.
You've got time.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks,
Lou. And that callback number
good
is
question.
416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. Now, let's bop along to Burlington. There's Yvonne. Good morning, Yvonne.
Hi there. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good. Excellent.
Just want to ask you about chrysanthemums.
Mm.
I've brought a lot of plants into overwinter. I've got only so many grow lights, and I can only handle so many plants.
Yeah.
But the chrysanthemum did so beautiful, I couldn't let it die out there. And I did this once before, and I can't remember how to do it. You take the chrysanthemum out of the soil, and you shake out the dirt or something, and you put it in paper bags and overwinter in a paper bag.
Are you thinking of geranium, perhaps? Because that's a very common overwintering for geranium.
No, this was chrysanthemum.
You did it with that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So it can work. So something to consider with chrysanthemum, they are perennial plants.
Yes.
So this, you probably purchased it this past fall and it was beautiful. You could have dug it down. You still probably can because your ground is not frozen yet.
No, it's in a pot. It's in a pot.
No, I understand, but I'm just saying, do you have like a ground, are you on a balcony or do you have a garden in the ground?
But it's in a pot. It was bought in a pot in the spring.
Okay, so I'm just saying you can leave it in the pot and bury the pot outside and let it overwinter outside, and it will grow and be green next spring. You could also take it out of the pot and give it a permanent location in the garden by planting it now. If you want to try and overwinter it, and it's doable, it's exactly what you said. You are going to dry it down. You're going to cut it back. You're going to get it out of the pot. You're going to shake off tease the roots out, remove the soil. Now, the paper bag idea is to help to keep some moisture in, but not too much moisture.
Right.
But the other thing you need is a cool, dark location for that bag. So most of us have finished basements.
Basement.
Yeah. So that's the challenge. I mean, back in the day when basements were unfinished, they were dark. They had, you know, dirt floors.
Yeah.
It was perfect for overwintering. Obviously,
not so much now.
The onions, the potatoes, all that stayed in the basement quite beautifully, as did geraniums and mums, et cetera. So it's a bit challenging to do that unless you've got that cool, dark location.
But it did work in the warm basement. It's the same basement. It did work. But I just, last year, I just kept the one plant under grow lights and kept it going all year and put it back outside. But then the squirrels ate it. They had, for some reason, they like the succulent stem.
Right.
So but maybe I'll just let it stay under the grow lights then.
Yeah, if you've got room, it's like I said to our caller who was calling about Mandevilla, it's always easier to keep the plant actively growing, or at least with leaves on it. Then you can see what's going on. You may want to prune, but I'm sure it's done flowering, or feel free to prune these things back, make them a little smaller in terms of the overwintering process.
Right.
And then, you know, even just a gentle pruning now, but a harder pruning in the late winter.
In the late winter.
Yeah. Because you're going to want.
What do I do about the squirrels? I've never seen them eat. They're eating all my outdoor plants this year.
Oh, is this past spring?
They got really hungry.
It's probably that just that. It was such a cold, wet spring. They were looking for anything green after that long winter. There is a product that I do recommend. It's, you know, well recommended as a completely organic spray called Plant Skid. So Plant SKYDD. And it's available at Sheridan's. I believe it's even available at Canadian Tire, places like that. And it's a spray. So you go out in the spring with some of these plants, consider using this spray just as a repellent to the squirrels, the groundhogs, any of those.
Well, that would be good because even the rabbits are eating some houseplants.
Oh, well, there you go.
Exactly.
Yeah, quite healthy little critters around here.
Well, that's right. And it's very much designed to repel all mammals. So and any of those, rabbits, groundhogs, any of them, it will do a very good job.
Won't hurt them all.
Not at all.
Well, good luck with that, Yvonne.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
And we have to take another little break here as we approach the latter part of our show.
I have to take another little sip here.
That's right. And we'll be back with a first-time caller from Gravenhurst, Sharon by name, who's waiting patiently on the line to her in moments.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, here we are on The Garden Show.
We were just talking about football, just so you know.
and I said that...
Grey Cup.
Yeah, I'm not a huge football, because in high school... whenever they got to a huddle, I thought they were talking about me, you know, so a little scare stuff like that. Anyway, Sharon in Gravenhurst.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen.
And what's going on in your garden?
Well, a friend just gave me a small Norfolk pine in a pot, and I'm just wondering the best way to treat it or not treat it.
Small. So how small?
About a foot high.
And so it's nice and green right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. And it's often used as a tropical or indoor ornamental Christmas seasonal kind of a tree. Mm-hmm. So if you want to make some little tiny, tiny ornaments, very lightweight, maybe some, you know, paper ornaments, it's kind of pretty to decorate up. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, though, bright spot in your home. So you need it near a window. It doesn't need to be in the window because it does not want the cold that's coming off the glass. Mm-hmm. So avoid a window ledge, but certainly within a couple of feet of north or east, and within 5 to 10 feet of south or west windows. So bright. Mm-hmm. Remember, you do have to turn that plant because it will grow towards the light. You want to keep it nice and symmetrical.
Mm-hmm.
It is a plant that does not like the dry, low humidity that we end up with in our homes in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
With our furnaces and our wood stoves and all that drying out the air, that plant does not respond well. So get yourself a mister, a spritzer, get into the habit of misting it, spritzing it at least once a day or more. Do whatever you can to keep the humidity high around it. Do you have a humidifier in your home?
I do. I haven't got it going yet, but I will shortly.
Yeah, so once you've got that furnace cranking along, get that humidifier going. And I mentioned the idea of the pebble tray to an earlier caller. So that's just it could be a takeout plastic tray, whatever kind of a low tray pot sits on top of gravel in the tray, and there's water kept always around the gravel. So that there's always water evaporating around the plant, and you'll find that will make a difference
as
well.
Yeah.
But no fertilizer until we get into some longer days. So starting February, March, yes, indeed, a nice, well-balanced fertilizer. And they're lovely plants. You can keep them alive for years and years if you can just give them what they want.
Okay, now could I put it outside in the summer?
Yeah, for sure. gently. You don't just take it straight out into the sun. It's a hardening off process. So into the shade to start, in and out over the period of days warming up. Once we're frost free, you can get it out and keep it. Yeah, keep it outside all summer. Love it. Absolutely loves our humidity in the summer.
Okay, great. I was trying to get something that had some smell to it, but I think they've taken the scent out of Christmas boughs and trees. I can't get anything that once I bring it inside that it still smells nice anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't last long, I find. Unless you, I mean, the thing is with the boughs, even a real tree, I always find the tree smells great when you first bring it in, but within a couple of days, not so much. But if you keep the water, remember, it's all about keeping that moisture inside the plant, then theoretically you should get more aroma coming off the plant.
Okay, great. Okay.
Thanks, Sharon.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Don't be a stranger. Call back when you can, huh? Werner, our old friend Werner from Tilsonburg's on the line. Good morning, Werner.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Frank and Charlie?
Yes, sir.
You were talking about the zucchini before.
Yes.
And I've had the problem that they come a little flower and then they fall off instead of becoming a fruit. I realized they had to be pollinized. I use a Q-tip or a small paintbrush to go from one flower to the other.
Yes, you are being the little bee.
Yes, and you get cloves. It works on cucumbers, too.
Yes, it does. Huh?
And you get your ears down, you hear them giggling.
You tickle them.
Are you guys drinking this apple juice? Is it fermented?
Yes, it is.
It's not apple juice. It's actually
cider.
It's cider. It's got a kick.
Be careful. Somebody might ask you to blow.
Oh, yeah. Thank God we're walking across the street.
That's right. And you're right, because the ride programs are starting again.
Absolutely.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
But you're right about sometimes. So remember how it works with all the squashes, the zucchinis, the pumpkins, different flowers, male flowers, female flowers, early in the day at sunrise, they open up and you've got to have that pollination opportunity, whether it's you with your little paintbrush out there listening to the giggles or it's little insects going back and forth, doing that pollinating.
Right on.
Good
for you.
Warner. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. You have a good one, okay?
Thanks for calling,
you too.
Werner. Take it easy.
All right, take care of Tilsonburg for us. Meantime, do you know, I'm going to give her a ring here because, bless her heart, Diane called back from Ajax. This is her second call in.
Excellent.
Good morning. Hey, welcome back again, Diane.
Good morning. Me again.
Yeah, good.
Cool.
Last Christmas, I bought two poinsettias.
Mm-hmm.
One died, as usual. I threw it out, but the other one thrived. It grew and grew. It got very leggy. I cut it back a couple of times.
Good.
Now I have a really beautiful, compact, round poinsettia plant. But it's green. I want to make it red again. So correct me if I'm wrong, but I read somewhere that it has to get 2 hours of sunlight a day. So I put a box over it, and I just started doing this yesterday.
Okay. So it's not 2 hours. It's actually 12 hours. What it needs is 12 hours of pure dark and 12 hours of pure light.
Oh, okay.
For up to 12 weeks. So that pure dark, that box you're putting over it, like usually what people will do is they'll kind of, as the sun's going down, 4:30, 5 o'clock, stick the plant in the cupboard or put the box over the plant. But it's got to be no cracks or crannies in that box. It's got to be like if there's any little cracks, put some duct tape over top of any cracks or crannies, put that box over top and then just take it off in the morning. So you'll just have that box over all night. Of course, people come over to visit. They're going to wonder what's under the box. They will turn red. The leaves will turn red.
Okay. How long does that take?
It's going to take up to 12 weeks, but the process you'll start seeing a difference within about 8 weeks.
Oh, okay. So I started this way too late.
That's okay. It'll still look good for Christmas, and then it'll look even better after Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. You're very welcome.
Thank you for joining us.
And
second
twice.
Time around. Yeah.
There you go. Listen to the mantra.
Well,
call early, call often.
Interesting stuff this morning, as usual.
As usual, lots about the seasonal stuff, seasonal flowers. We're poinsettia questions, Christmas cactus. And you, of course, are on the air later today.
Yes. Matter of fact, just a little hint to folks, if you're looking for a marvelous Christmas gift, Mike Filey is going to be on the show about 2:45 thereabouts, talking about the new book that he's got out called Spirit of Place. Toronto, 224 pages of this coffee table book that's marvelous. Photographs you wouldn't believe.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
He took them.
Yeah, I'll tell you the price. But It would be a marvelous gift for anybody who currently lives in Toronto or has lived in Toronto. It's a marvelous book.
Good idea. Thanks,
we'll
Frank.
Talking about that.
And thanks again, Frank and Duncan, all our great callers. See you again next week.
The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin is brought to you by Stokes Seeds. Select from the finest quality vegetable and flower seed at StokesSeeds.com and get growing with Stokes.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.